Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The smartest guys around are about to break it down like they've won the game a million times.
Well, actually, they didn't really win the game at all.
Survivor Know-It-Alls. Survivor Know-It-Alls. Steve and Rob went out and down. Got the game all figured out. They know it all.
Yes, that's right. The Know-It-Alls are back. It's Steven. We have something to talk about. What the flickin' hell?
Wow. Rob, this is crazy. We haven't had anything happen in an episode of Australian Survivor for weeks. And now we've got the episode of the season. And it's like I predicted. Really, this is a testament to me. Final seven, classic time to make a big move. And a big move happens. It's a huge move. It's the move of the game.
Yes. I don't know what you're talking about, but sure, we'll go with it. As Steven called it, final seven.
That's why I said you were complaining, as always, you were complaining about how nothing was happening. And I said, you know, it's too soon to make a move. You make a move at the final seven.
Okay, sure. And we'll go with it. And so let's get into talking about Jenna Louise got voted out, yada, yada, yada. And now here we are, Steven, in episode 21. Finally, we have some movement.
Yada, yada, Jenna Louise.
We can't.
No, you can't. It's fine. Yeah, no, you can't. It's fine. Yeah.
Okay. This is, I'm prepared to do that. There's nothing of note that I need to talk about from episode 20.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's just get into this and hashtag RHAP. We're going to take your questions along the way. Also, you can subscribe to our Australian Survivor podcast. Go to robinswebsite.com/SurvivorAU. And, you can subscribe to that. 10 more weeks to go. And then we will have the winner of Australian Survivor. But Steven, at the final seven, the biggest move of the game takes place when Flick defects from her alliance of six to make this bold move and switch things up, Steven. So it was a big move. It was a bold move. Was it a good move?
That's the question. Was it a good move? That's the question we're here to answer. It's hard though. You know, I've seen a lot of online chatter about this, obviously, right? A lot of, and there's a lot of really compelling arguments, for both sides. And you know, this is going to be a tough one. I'm really excited to talk through this. I've been looking forward to talking about this with you, Rob, because, you know, I see both sides. Now, on the one hand, my number one concern with anyone who makes a move like this is what happens next week? What happens the next episode? You know, it's such a common thing where the person who flips away from their alliance, they really piss off their old alliance and they're pretty dispensable to their new alliance. And they're very frequently the next person to go home. And that's my fear. For, you know, it's funny that this is happening right now, just like an American Survivor. Jessica made this, you know, very similar flip this very similar flick this past episode. You know, my whole blog was saying, like, you know, this is a dangerous move for Jessica because she's pissed off her old alliance and to what? She's just broken faith. So, you know, it's very different, of course, Jessica on day, you know, six or whatever. And, you know, Flick here on day 600, you know, very different situations. So the danger, I think, for Flick is that, you know, now you've really pissed off, you know, Sam for sure. You know, how loyal is Matt going to feel? You know, and you've, basically why to save, you know, how, and the question is like Lee and Elle, what are they going to think? So, you know, on the other hand, I'm going to stop monologuing here. I'm going to give you a chance to have an opinion.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate that. because this is such a complicated move, and it's not just simple as sort of like a go left or go right, sort of like right. the position that I was in at the final seven in Survivor the Amazon, where I had two options in front of me
right.
to go with the Alex and Heidi and Jenna move versus to go with Butch and Christy and Matt. It was basically a pretty binary decision for me. This was especially complicated, I think, for Flick, because that there was also there was basically the sort of surface move where everyone was going right. to vote out Christy,
right?
And I'm talking about Christy,
nobody was actually
Australian
doing
it. Survivor yeah. Christy, but also that Brooke was also planning a big move in the game that was going to be different, right. in which that she was going to vote against somebody from the Aganoa Alliance in yeah. L. And so that was sort of a big play. Actually, it started with Lee, and then Lee won immunity, and then ultimately it was going to be L. So there was also this other big move in play from yeah. Brooke. And so that's what really makes this complicated and interesting.
Well, and this is like when Survivor is so fun to watch, when everyone is pretending there's a default plan and both sides know the decoy plan is not the right plan, but like they're both playing along, even though they have like totally other plans. You know, I love that when there's like,
yeah, the Christy you know, plan,
everyone
and the
says
Matt
they're
plan.
Voting Christy, but no one is actually voting Christy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the thing is, here at the final seven, this is when you're thinking, who do I need to be sitting next to win? And how do I get there? And you can't think just like, you know, how do I get to the end safely? And I think that really is where Flick's, you know, dilemma has to be, where very clearly she's got a very solid shot. If she just sticks with Brooke, Brooke's been her number one since the very beginning. You know, stick with Brooke and Sam and Matt and just go down to four. And then, you know, you're probably going to end up in the final, at least the final three. But can you win there?
Okay, so no more tap dancing around this. I hate this move. I thought it was a terrible move for Flick. She blew it.
Yeah. But if Flick can't beat Brooke, what is her win condition? And my mind is like, Flick is best up against Matt and Christy, right? Like that's what, or I guess it's one of those two, Matt or Christy. Would you agree with that?
I think that would be better. Yeah. So Stephen, I defer to you in this spot, because I mean, is this not a similar parallel to you and JT, where you feel like that you have an ally who's been with you the whole time? You're a person right. that you don't want to turn your back on, but you feel like you cannot beat them in the end. And also similar, I guess, to JT, that Brooke is an immunity threat. So that she's somebody that it's going to be hard to get rid of her if you don't take this opportunity. But this is final seven, and it's potentially, I believe this is going to be a final two. You're going to have four more shots at this down the road. I feel like that you're right. burning too many people. You're not just burning Brooke. You're also burning Sam in this situation and Matt, which are going to be two or three jury votes at this point. Right. So I think that there's not a lot of upside here. And I think that you certainly were in a safe spot if you're Brooke to be able to get the numbers further down.
Yeah. I mean, I think that I agree. This is too soon. I think, you know, why not take out L and Lee while you have the shot, and then make your pivot, then take out Christy, or then work with Christy or Matt and take out Brooke. You know, that's what I think. I think it's like Flick has got to turn on Brooke at some point. Right. The reason being, one, Brooke is probably going to beat her in the end. You know, she's got more tight loyalties among the jurors, and she's had like more challenge wins. And I think that's going to really play a major role in this jury. And, you know, Brooke or Sam are always going to beat her at the end. You know, Flick's other challenge is that Brooke and Sam are clearly more loyal to each other. And I think that's where it differs from me and JT, where with JT, I knew that I was his number one and I was basically everybody else's number one too. So if I could get myself close to the end, all I had to do was knock him off. You know, it's very different for Flick, where Brooke is really that person who's everybody's number one. You know, Sam might take Brooke. Flick might, you know, be forced to take Brooke. Matt might take Brooke. So, you know, Flick is in this position where at some point she has to now knock off Brooke in order to really have a shot, both to get to the end and to win at the end. You know, the question is when, and is there any argument to be made? Cause I agree, like superficially don't love the move, but I want to take a step back and say, is there any argument to be made? Like if you get closer, you're going to get lost in the momentum. You know, that could, you know, you've got a shot to shake things up. Do you take it? You know,
people criticized me nonstop for not taking an earlier shot at JT when I had it. And I think I made the right decision at the time. Obviously, I lost. I still think it was the right decision. I know you don't believe that you can make the right decision and have bad results. Is there any
argument? I never said that. Stop it.
Yeah, yeah. You're all about the results. Whatever happened is entirely justified or unjustified by the results.
Fact checkers, yeah. Go to robhasawebsite.com. I know there's not a lot of fact checking going on. Steven is just going to keep saying these things. And look, I know the fact checkers are out there.
You're wrong, Rob, and you should be in prison.
How dare you? All right. Can I talk about Brooke? Because I don't think that Brooke did a good job in this episode. I think that Brooke also made a bad move. And I think that she helped make Flick's case where here's Flick being overaggressive, but perhaps Brooke was overaggressive too. Because without Brooke's over assertiveness in this episode, where she's going to try to make the move to try to take Lee out here at Final Seven, then she is able to give Brooke the ammo to be able to go to Lee and to Elle. And to me, it reminded me of back in Survivor Kakian, back when Tony was trying to say to LJ, like, hey, LJ, woo, I think he's coming to get you. And it was like he wanted LJ to say the words, hey, maybe we should get Woo out so that he could go back to Trish and to Woo and to say, LJ, look, he's coming to get you guys. I don't know what I can do. But in this case, Brooke actually did supply the ammo where she says to Sam, hey, we should get out Lee. And Sam agreed, even though they had the bromance. And then it made it too easy for Flick to be able to go back to Lee and to Elle and to say, hey, that they're coming to set. Sam has turned against you and Brooke has turned against you. And she was able to reunite the three original Aganoans.
Well, but from Brooke's perspective, like, you have to on Survivor assume people are going to act according to their best interest, right? That's all you can think. And from Brooke's perspective, this is not in Flick's best interest, right? Because again, like, it's putting, Flick is going from this very safe spot at the center of this solid four to this very marginal spot, like right in between these two alliances. So, you're saying you hate this move from Flick. Brooke was probably thinking the same thing. I mean, I don't think this is too soon for Brooke to turn on Elle and Lee. I actually think that it could be very dangerous to let those guys get within, sniffing distance of the final tribal.
Well, but here's the question, though. What were the alliances? Was there, because I think in our mind, it was like, okay, there was the three, and this is what Nick has been saying and Jenna Louise. There's the three of Brooke and Flick and Elle, and then there's the two of Sam and Lee. But was it actually, were Lee and Elle the tightest bond? Because if that was the case, then I guess this was the right move. But if, as we've been told, there's the three women, doesn't it make more sense to grab Christy and then to make it be the four women and then take out Sam and Lee and Matt?
Well, and maybe that's what Brooke was going against, right? Is that, suddenly Brooke is saying, let's vote out one of the three women. If you're in Flick's position, wouldn't you think, well, wait a second, this is the game plan. Like, why are we suddenly shifting things? Matt used to be on the bottom. Suddenly now he's in. I don't know. I mean, like, look, again, like, lines are much more fluid than that, obviously. We're watching it be like the three women. Then suddenly it's like, oh, it's actually the four Vavau or Sinapu, whatever they were, against the three Aganoans.
I think Vavau is over, Steven.
I know. Isn't that unbelievable?
They're gone.
One of the most dominant tribes. Yeah. Sinapu just took him out. And Aganoa, the little Aganoa that could.
Yeah. The Matt Singh. They're right there. They're still hanging in there.
Can we take a moment, though, to appreciate, or just a Sam hypocrisy moment for
Sam? He is the worst.
The freaking guy who is accusing Nick of being an evil, duplicitous snake for literally nothing is now the guy who's like, well, I'm going to vote against my best mate, but that's just how it is.
Mate's mateship.
It's okay if I do it because I'm going to look really soulful and outrageous.
Yeah. Now, I don't want to pile on Sam that I hate to Why? Do this, Steve, because I have to talk about somebody else. I hate to do this, Steven, but I have to say how utterly disappointed I am with Magic Matt. Magic Matt, to me, has been the biggest disappointment in this entire series, going back to the pregame stuff.
More than Connor? More than Bianca?
I had no expectations from Connor. Bianca was, I was gutted to see her go. But Magic Matt, I had such high hopes for him that he was going to be this player in this game. From going into the preseason, I remember watching promos of like, he's a mentalist. He's able to read people's body language and know exactly what they're going to do. And here he is. Half this episode, I'm like, is he even still on the show? He's not. He's never even talked about. And now here is this flip that happens, and he's not even part of the flip that's going on. That he's seemingly just. Where is Matt in all of this?
Yeah, it looks like he's been. I mean, you know, a couple episodes ago, he had this confessional about how, you know, he came out hoping to be the sort of center of action, and you know, he never connected with anyone in that way that you need to. And I think that really is the core of it. It's like, if you don't connect with the right people on Survivor, you're never going to have leverage. Like, you know, that's not actually entirely true.
But every statement he's made for the last like 25 days in this game has been wrong. He's wrong about everything. He is completely out of the loop on every vote.
Well, it's funny though, because he is a guy who could win because he's been sort of right. He's got enough of a strategic persona where he, you know, but he hasn't like necessarily pissed anybody off because he hasn't been in the power position to piss anyone off.
Mm-hmm. You have every single person who's going out of the game like, yeah, you're really not in the loop, Matt. I got to be honest. You really, you don't know what's going on. Like, they're crazy. This is crazy talk. This is crazy talk. And then this one, like he wasn't really in the mix of any of these sort of like where, you know, Brooke isn't talking to him. Flick's not talking to him. You know, he's getting the fake plans, but he's really been such a disappointment because I really thought that he was the guy who was going to be able at some point was going to take the game by the horns. And maybe he will at the last second. But, you know, I'm finding it very hard to see this outcome.
This is why you can't listen to the pregame stuff. You get attached. You get attached. I came in with attached. No.
I was really buying this.
I don't care about anyone except Connor.
He's going to pull it over, put one over on everybody. He's the mentalist. Yeah. He's going to do it.
I'm disappointed about Craig. If only Craig were here, you know?
Well, I don't know. That you know, he should have listened to me and not voted off Andrew.
Yeah, yeah. So let's get back to this Flick thing. Because I agree, like a terrible, on the surface, a very bad move. You go from the Central Alliance to, you know, to being this flipper. You know, you've pissed a lot of people off they're going to the jury house. Brooke is not going to go to the jury house and say, wow, what a great move that was. She's going to be like, what a snake. She's evil. No mateship. And you know, she's going to, you know, maybe you win Nick's vote, but you're not going to win the jury's vote. Is there anything that we can say though, that can say like, this was the right move because Flick was in a bad position and she had to destabilize the game.
She wasn't in that bad of a position though.
How does she win?
I feel like the move should have been, they should have voted out Sam. I think that they should have voted out Sam because what's going to happen? Yeah, vote out Sam. Play this out. For Brooke and Flick, that they turned on each other. They both got too greedy and tried to make a move. Less so for Brooke, more so for Flick. Vote out Sam at this vote, okay? So what's going to happen next week? Aganoah is going to get back together and they're going to force a 3-3 tie? Well, I guess hold on. I guess let me just talk this through. Because now Lee has this advantage that we never talk about anymore on the show.
Is Brooke voting out? I just want to know who you're saying should vote out Sam.
I feel like that it should have been the women. The women should have gotten together and voted out Sam in this spot. Yeah. Now the thing that's the spoiler here is, and not a spoiler in the Survivor sense, but going to the final six, Lee does have this vote advantage where he can cancel a vote. But would he at that point? And if he did, then would Aganoah get back together and use Lee's vote cancel? And what would they do?
I actually thought Lee should have used the vote cancel this.
It didn't even come up.
But this was the perfect time because the numbers are even. He's got, you know, he doesn't know what Flick is going to do. He's not entirely sure. If he takes away one vote from the other team, you know, maybe if Flick does betray him, then he's
he's pushed a tie at the very least. I mean, granted, like that, I mean, we don't know what the vote cancel does on a revote. Mm-hmm. And that really is where what it comes down to. But I thought that this might have been the move for him here was to use a vote cancel.
Yeah. Steven, how does this not even get talked about?
I'm sure they're talking, you know, so let me just explain to you the basics. Survivor is constant. You know, it's not like, you know, it's 24 hours a day. And then it gets edited down significantly into a television show. You know, in America, it's a 44-minute show. Here in Australia, it's a much longer show. So you don't see everything that's talked about.
Thank you. Thank you for explaining that to me. So, Steven, how do we get an hour of this show, and not with commercials, an hour of footage, and the footage that the editors choose to show us does not include one conversation about the vote cancel?
Probably because it had no significant impact on the story. It wasn't played. We talk about a lot of this, you know, I get probably people are talking about idols too. There's no idols out there. Probably people are like, oh, do you think he's an idolist?
So let me put you on an island here. What do you say is the move that should have been made? What should Flick have done?
Well, from Flick's perspective, I think she should have stayed with the four. I think she gets rid of Lee and Al, and then she's in a position where she can pull in maybe. The tricky thing is, like, we don't know how tight Matt is with Brooke. Like, where's Matt's ultimate loyalty? Is it to Brooke or is it to Flick?
I don't know. Or is it to Sam and Lee, which isn't even a thing anymore?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it looks like Matt always assumed that Sinapu was going to stay together.
Okay. Let's take some questions as we go along here. Derek writes in and says, Brooke played an almost perfect game, but became the first one to fall down in the alliance. What did she do wrong? What could she have done to save herself other than winning immunity? Did she make the wrong move when she took out Sue instead of Connor? Vote out Nick or Kylie too early? Keep Jenna Louise. In terms of what Brooke was doing, what do you feel like that this was an over-aggressive play on her part?
I think Brooke was too clearly the ringleader, right? Like, everyone knew Brooke was running the show. At some point, that person is going to, unless they really shore up their allies, you know, and that's the crazy, like, that's the crazy thing about Survivor. Like, you know, if Flick had been feeling differently that day, Brooke wins, you know, if Flick has slightly less paranoid and slightly more loyal to Brooke, you know, she doesn't flip at a very questionable decision and maybe Brooke goes all the way, you know, and it's like, or, you know, paranoia sets in and Brooke being the obvious ringleader is the obvious target. I'm not sure if there's anything that Brooke could have done better than except maybe reassure Flick, somehow show Flick that Flick had a path to victory. You know, it's like it's every front runner very often the front runner gets taken out. Right. Mm-hmm. So it's hard. It's the crazy part of Survivor, and especially a game that's, you know, they're on day 45 now, right? Yeah. Like, they're not making rational decisions at this point. No one is making irrational decisions.
I think everybody did a bad job, maybe also not just taking out Christy. It seemed like it was late. I don't know. You know, you have this vote cancel, but to us, it's important. But to nobody out there, it doesn't seem like it's a factor in their decision making. So part of me says, just vote out Christy. You have this alliance of seven, Steven.
Oh, man, I really disagree with you.
Okay. All right. Well, can I finish? Can
no.
I use my time?
No.
Yeah. No, but you have Christy there. So if you have this group, this block that's sticking together, then either vote her out, or if that's not the case, then vote out Sam. It just seems like so premature for Brooke to want to vote out Elle in that spot when Elle seemingly is loyal to the women.
But you need to, at the final seven, that's when you start voting out the jury threats. You know, like, you can't pull someone along because they're loyal to you when they're going to beat you at the end.
Elle was going to beat her.
That's what everyone said. Everyone was like, Elle's going to win. Lee's going to win. You know, if you have three or four jury threats there, you can't just like let those votes go by and be like, well, we like her. She's loyal to us.
You know who didn't think like that, Steven? Kim Spradlin. You know, Kim Spradlin wasn't like, okay, well, I've got to vote out Chelsea. I've got to vote out Sabrina. They could win. You know,
Kim knew she could beat them. That's the whole point. These people know Elle will beat her.
How? Well, who's Elle? Name two facts about Elle.
She has a child.
And she's very close with Lee.
I'm that's like 50-50 on that last one. Close with Lee.
Drives
a green car.
All we can go by is the narrative that we're seeing. So if these Survivor contestants are saying L's a huge jury threat, nobody can beat Lee or L, you know, if you're saying,
somebody has to beat somebody.
Right. And if you, yes, that's exactly the point. And if you're in the game, you want to be the person beating those people. So you remove the people who can beat you.
Yeah.
I don't think if you're in the game and you're Flick, you say, well, it's okay if L beats me because someone has to beat somebody.
I have to get close enough that I can smell the money first and not worry about who's a jury threat at Final Seven.
Final Seven is exactly when you have to worry about who's a jury threat. That's when you have the leverage to make a move. You know, when it gets down to 6 and 5, suddenly those things get a lot more locked in. And that's why I think Christy is the perfect person to have around, you know.
Especially in a final two situation, Steven. You got 5 more shots at this.
But there's also multiple people. You know, you've got Lee to worry about. You've got L to worry about. You got Sam to worry about. You got Brooke to worry about. You know, if you're Flick and there's 4 people who can beat you, and 2 who you can beat, like, you got to take your shots when you got them. And like, yes, I think she should have taken her shot at L here and saved her alliance with Brooke, because, you know, now I think she's going to be a pariah among both groups. But, you know, I don't agree with you about the Christy vote. I mean, Christy's one of the few people she can probably beat.
Did Christy do anything to save herself here at Final Seven if she was going to be the presumptive next vote?
No, right? I guess she wasn't her confessional about Lee like so strange? She's like, if Lee truly is sacrificing himself for my sins, I don't even know what to say.
Yeah, I have a hard time giving Christy a lot of credit in anything that goes on. Like sometimes like she'll do a confessional that's just sort of like, oh, this is going well. Like, but I don't ever see her doing anything. Yeah. It's like,
is that? It's like both like evil and so awkward and forced at the same time. Yeah.
Yes.
It's not like,
she'll say to somebody like, oh, everybody will believe I'm getting voted out because I'm so awkward and have no friends. But she's like sort of just there. I'm sure we'll get some flack for this, but I have a hard time giving Christy a lot of credit.
No, I totally agree with you. I don't think Christy's doing very much. I mean, you know, she obviously played a big role in the Phoebe Blindside. And, you know, for that, she can never be forgiven. But more importantly, she's not doing much. She's, you know, I don't think that you can say, oh, but she's still there. You know, people get pulled along in every season for, you know, just because they seem weak or because they seem, you know, like they're not a threat. And
yeah.
If you're not actively making moves and doing things, you know, like I can't respect that.
Okay. All right. Some more questions that are from our listeners. Vanessa writes in to say, is it ever a good strategy to look/be vulnerable when you're on the outside of the group? Do you think it can help with your position in the game? What are your thoughts on Christy's confessional in terms of her? Do you feel like that she is intentionally looking vulnerable?
Yeah, I guess to that degree, you actually do need to give Christy credit for not playing. You know, I mean, if you're in that Christy position, I don't know. Do you give her credit? Like,
no.
Here's the thing.
What has she done to the point where that she's like, she's done such a good job of looking like she's not playing too, but she actually is not she's not quitting. Like she has not gotten up and left the game. And to that, she is owed a lot of credit.
There's something to be said, though, for like avoiding the vote until you have the chance to make your move. You just need one move, right? And that's the kind of like the Wentworth game, right? Where it's like, if you can just be unobtrusive until you have the shot, and if you take that shot, that could be enough to win you the game. Is Christy doing that? It doesn't look like it, right? Like in Survivor Australia, it seems like what happens is that everyone kind of ducks and covers. And then when it's their turn to get eliminated, that's when they light up and are like, no, here's what's happening. Now it's time to make a move. And then you're like, yeah, you know, you should have said that 6 episodes ago. Now that it's finally you finally think it's time to make a move. So in that respect, it just seems like Christy is just like the last of those people. But, you know, if she takes the shot, it could be enough.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever that shot is. I don't know. You don't buy it.
I have a hard time imagining it in terms of that, you know, like it could happen. Sure. We've seen it, but it does not inspire the hearts and imagination of the Survivor viewing fans.
Yeah.
Who's
got a winner's edit? So I actually need to do a mea culpa. I said Brooke had a winner's edit at a certain one of these podcasts. To be honest, it was just because someone was really aggressively tweeting at me about Brooke's winner's edit. And like, I hadn't thought so in the beginning, but then like, I was like, oh yeah, okay, sure. That makes sense. I see it. It makes sense. And I was wrong, obviously. So I apologize. Who now has a winner's edit, Rob?
I mean, it's hard to say. I mean, I think that Sam and Lee have been consistently shown as heroic the whole way through. And I think that Flick after this episode, you would have to say, is being shown in a very positive light.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't see any way that Flick wins after this move, but I think that she was shown to be very positively portrayed.
Yeah, I think so too. I thought it showed that, I mean, it didn't really explain her move. It showed her being the middle of the vote, but
she was certainly the narrator of this episode.
Yes. Yes. And she was the decisive force in a huge blindside.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I thought Lee came off looking great.
You mean like aesthetically?
Yeah. Amazing abs.
Yeah. Even with the guy eats all that chocolate and he still looks great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Steven, Kelly Priest also has a question for us. So although the tribal was great and exciting, are we celebrating too soon with Brooke gone? I think that Flick will be gone soon after, as well as Matt. And then we're left with the nightmare final four of Lee, L, Sam, Christy, as all the key strategists will be gone. I know I'm really speculating with this one, but do you think that this is a possible scenario? Well, Steven, is it possible that now with Flick, this new four ends up using her to vote off the likes of Sam and Matt?
Yeah.
And then old Aganoa gets back together and says, all right, Flick, you're out next. And then Lee doesn't, don't forget, still has his vote cancel. And we get to a final three of all Aganoa.
I think Matt is the winner of this move by Flick, because suddenly he goes from like the bottom of this pecking order and like one of the next ones to get voted off to this kind of unobtrusive force in this like a battle where you've got Flick and Sam and Lee and L facing off against each other. Like, who's going to vote out Matt? You know, you said Matt wasn't going to make the final six. He's made the final six.
I guess so. I don't know if you said he was going to make the final six.
No, you said there's no way he's making it. And I was like, I hedged and I said, I agreed with you.
Okay. Well, I guess you deserve a trophy for that.
Yeah. But I was again bullied. I was bullied by you just like I was bullied by those Twitter people. I'm very easily swayed, Rob.
Yeah. So you don't think that it's going to, this four is going to hold for a couple of votes here?
That's the question. I don't know. I would be suspicious. Like, you know, Flick said, oh, Lee and L are so trustworthy.
Why would Flick flip back?
I don't think the thing is going to be Flick flipping back. I think it'll more like the flipper is always, always, always the person who gets knocked off. One or two episodes, not always.
So you feel like that Lee is going to get back together with Sam and Matt, and that L and Christy will also be in on, let's just get, vote out Flick in this spot?
I don't know.
It doesn't really make a lot of sense.
I just worry. My thought is, as soon as you've destabilized the thing, you're going to be a target. You know, what the shakeout is that causes you to be the target. It's more like no one trusts you after that point. You know, you don't have your old group and the new group doesn't totally trust you either.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think Flick has played a good game from the very beginning. You know, she's scrambled when she's had to scramble. You know, when people have threatened her, she's gone after those people. So I have hope for her, but I have fear for her as well.
I mean, what you could have is Matt and Sam like make the case of like Flick is a snake and she has no honor and she turned on all of us, and that you have Lee and Elle and Christy say, okay, I guess we don't need her number. And then just to sort of satiate, you know, Sam and Matt, they could vote her out at six and then vote out Sam and Matt right after that. Sure. I'm starting to feel pretty convinced that L, Lee and Christy will be a final three.
I believe it. And then I could see that. I can see that. And then who wins?
I think I would say, well, nobody can beat L. According to you,
and everyone is on the show is telling me that nobody can beat L. Who am I to be like, you know what? Those people are wrong. They think that, but they don't know. They don't know. I've seen.
You've never said anybody is wrong on Survivor. I would say Lee if I had to make a guess out of that three.
Yeah, Lee would be a good winner.
He was, yeah. Okay, let's start to take some questions from the audience. Steve, why don't you get us started here? What about Edmo?
Edmo wants to know, should JL have started the train to flip the vote when they voted out Kylie?
I think she was trying.
I don't remember. I mean, the point is that everyone on the bottom of that hierarchy was really dumb. And it was a real credit to Brooke and to Flick, the way they managed it, you know, the way that they managed to bring people into the group and then dispose of them, you know, to make people really believe that they were part of the group and then kind of like shunt them out afterwards. So yes, every person who was on the jury obviously should have made a move before they were on the jury. You know, but that's both to their loss and to the credit of the people who were running it.
Well, let's touch on some of the infuriating things about the tribal council. Also, first off, super infuriating, Matt talking about that. Hey, like Jonathan, this is an alliance of seven at the final seven tribal council. Like, shouldn't
you're
his
so
torch
down
have been
on
snuffed?
Magic Matt.
I just like, how could you say that? How could you say that at tribal council? Like, Jonathan, this is an alliance of seven. We're all in this together. And frankly,
that's why you have to love Flick. She's like, let's be real. That's ridiculous. We're not. Yeah, that's so silly.
Stop it. It's insulting to everyone's intelligence to say that there is no alliance here. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
I mean, it's day 45 of this game.
Yeah. Can you imagine how I'm exhausted just like watching it, you know, like, can you imagine how brain dead they must be by this point?
Mm-hmm. You would think so. And then we get to the confessional, Stephen, and then Matt in his confessional, he votes for L and says, welcome to World War III.
Yeah,
that's the first blow. And then Christy, when she votes for Brooke, she says, it's time for the Ice Queen to step off her self-propelling throne. What the hell is she talking about?
Wasn't it self-proclaimed throne?
Is that what it is?
I thought she said self-proclaimed. Did you hear self-propelling?
I don't know what she's talking about.
Yeah. I mean, well, Flick's comment too was the same, which was that, you know, it was like, you were too greedy with power. I think there was like an aggressive side to Brooke that everyone sort of, you know, Brooke, I think maybe was too clearly the person who was in the center of things and was wheeling and dealing. And we've talked about this on this podcast, Rob, where it's just too long a game to maintain that, you know, like you can be the mastermind who's wheeling and dealing for 39 days. But like, I think 55 is just too long.
Yeah. Steven, what would Jeff Probst do at a tribal council where somebody at the final seven tribal council where somebody called it an alliance of seven?
Are you effing kidding me? That wouldn't necessarily make the show. You know, you cannot give me that BS. Yeah. And then he would go to Spencer and say, Spencer, tell me who. And then Spencer would be like, well, Jeff.
Jeff like would literally like start like knocking people's heads together at the point that gets said at a tribal. So kudos to Jonathan for showing some restraint at the moment that is said. All right. Roy wants to know, who is the best player left? Steven?
I mean, I don't think Flick is going to win, but I would say Flick. What about, what do you think? You think Matt, huh?
No, he was the most hyped player and he hasn't done anything.
Since
Matt's Angels have we seen anything from Matt.
He was so jealous about Lee and Sam. It destroyed his game.
I guess so. Would you say L? I mean, nobody can beat her, Steven.
Who would you say? I've said Flick.
I mean, how can we say it's Flick when we're saying she made a terrible move?
I think she... But who's the best player? They're all terrible.
I think that I'll say it's L, but you know, I don't.
How do you think L would have almost got blindsided tonight if not for Flick?
Well, then I don't know. Who do you want to say? They're all flawed. I would have said Brooke before tonight.
But you can be the best player and still be the one about to go home like Flick.
Mm-hmm.
Like over time, you know, if we put Flick into a 39-day game of Survivor, I believe she would do better than she's doing.
I mean, I'll still say that I think that Brooke is the best player in this season, because it is
yes,
mind-boggling to think that her closest ally would go and defect at this point in time. Yes, I mean, I guess it's a bad job by her to not check in with her ally and say, like, hey, you're not going to go and tell everything I'm saying to the people we're trying to blindside, right?
I agree. I think that, like, from Brooke's set of assumptions, she would have to assume that Flick would be loyal to her right now.
I mean,
especially when they're about to get out this massive jury threat, L, who everybody loves.
Yeah.
But I totally agree. And they've been that best allies since like the first day. And as someone who also put his faith in someone who he had every reason to put his faith in, I am Team Brooke.
All right. Yeah. Let's take this question. This is from Guillaume, who says, is Christy playing a good game or is she just stumbling along? And John Densford wants to know, does Christy get credit for just existing to final two without driving strategy?
Both of those things.
But I guess give her credit. I mean,
you said no credit.
Give her credit that she has not been aggressively bad enough that it's like she has. Yeah. Like, I don't know if you want to award credit to somebody who has not done enough to attract any attention to her and has also not been aggressively bad enough to be voted off. So whatever credit you want to give for that of just like being a bump on a log that nobody has the energy to vote out, then I guess give her credit.
I think the bump on the log is better than the strategist who can't get it done. You know, if you can get your head down and duck and cover into the end, that's better than like being strategic, but not actually accomplishing anything.
I guess so. But I mean,
worst TV. I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe I don't think that. I don't know. Maybe I don't think that. I can't tell. I need someone on Twitter to tell me what I think.
I mean, just somebody just to be in a coma on Survivor for like, just like that, you, they're not doing anything that you say that they're a threat. And then also they're not doing anything where, you know, the, you're worried about them as a threat. I don't know. And I know people.
So Paul Pavlusia has a good follow-up question here. Will Christy be the greatest underdog victory in the history of Survivor? Would you vote for her if she got to the final two? So I think this is the real question. It's like, if Christy gets there, is she going to have enough votes from this group of underdogs that's lining the jury bench?
She would have to be up against the most hated person that you could find. I mean, that what agency can she say that other than they're like, well, I never got voted out the whole time.
But isn't that what Survivor Australia is all about? Is this I never did anything, so I'm the best, you know, like, isn't like that Sam's whole ethos?
I never hurt your feelings.
Yes.
I never made you mad at me. I never said any locker room talk.
Wouldn't Christy be like a completely emblematic winner for Survivor Australia? The person who most embodies Sam's ethos of don't play the game.
Then if you want to say that she is, then yes, but I don't think that's a good thing.
No, I mean, not for the show, but, you don't think it's possible that let's say she's there against Flick. Let's say she's there against Sam. Let's say she's there against Lee. Is it possible that someone would say, not Lee, Lee's too perfect. That someone would say, you guys were schemy and evil and you backstabbed me, Flick. You said you were my ally and then you backstabbed me. Christy never did that to me.
She'd have to be there against Flick. That I don't think that she could do it against Lee or Elle. I think that Lee and Elle both have the trump card to say that, hey, you guys were coming for us. That Flick came and told us Brooke's plan and how you were turned against us. That's why we voted against you guys. So right. I think that that's where that if she was up against Flick and then, you know, and Sam, who will be so indignant on the jury, he's going to be the most bitter juror of all. If Flick's in the final two, he'll be insufferable. And then you'll have Matt, who will also be indignant about Flick, and Brooke potentially could be really pissed off. And then, you know, that's three people already on the jury. And then you if there's any other if you have Connor and don't forget about like the people, are they on the jury? No, they're not on the jury, right? Connor's not on the jury. Jury started with Nick. Okay. Yeah, thank God. I don't know. I guess you could have people that are salty towards, the majority alliance for whatever reason. So it's possible.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
I think that's what's going to happen. I think it's going to be a bitter, bitter, bitter vote.
Yeah, probably. Okay.
All right. Chris Baba Bui wants to know, right move for Sam, Matt, and Brooke would be to try and grab up Christy for a vote.
Yeah. I don't know.
I thought they had the numbers with Flick.
Yeah. What do you think?
I mean, I think they thought they had Flick. There wasn't a reason to grab Christy.
Yeah. Okay. What about from Ryan, the Slytherin says, Flick was often saying, best in Survivor history, biggest move in Survivor history. Has she done anything historic? Oh, what do you think is the historic precedent of this? Has anybody ever made a bigger move at the final seven, Stephen?
I mean, this is a big move at the final seven.
Biggest move in the history of Australian Survivor.
It is definitely that. I mean, any season, this would have been a huge move.
I was going to say that if Flick's Survivor history is Australian Survivor plus whatever she gleaned from Benry, then I guess this is the biggest move in Survivor history.
Are you calling her a dirt squirrel?
No, I most certainly not. I'm not. She is no Alina.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Go ahead.
Edmo wants to say, will Lee use his advantage next episode regardless if he is the target?
He should.
I don't think that he'll use it regardless. I mean, I think it's almost like you'd have to put a gun to his head to get him to use it.
Yeah. He should, though.
He should, but it doesn't come up.
therefore, they never discuss it or think about it's not on my television.
I mean, Stephen, I guess that maybe you could be right where it's being talked about nonstop, and for whatever reason, Survivor is choosing not to show us. But
yes,
again, I can only go by what's on my TV. And yes, if it's not coming up in conversation, then I have to imagine that it's not being talked about very much.
You are no. I mean, believe me, like Idols. Sorry, I'm like trumping again. Believe me, Rob, you are wrong.
Believe me, I'm hearing. Yeah. What evidence do I have to go off of?
You know, Idols are constantly talked about. That's all people do. And you only see it on TV when it's relevant to the storyline, you know, and the same thing is true. Like, let's say like, my advantage in Survivor Cambodia, you know, everyone was talking about it all the time. You know, it only made the edit when it became relevant for the story. You know, and that's, I'm sure, the same thing with Lee's advantage. I mean, I don't think these people are talking about it maybe with the same urgency and hysteria that people on Survivor US talk about idols and advantages. But I'm sure they're like, hey, Lee, when are you going to play that idol?
What voice is that? Hey, Lee, when are you going to play that idol?
not my strong suit.
All right. Roy wants to say, when will we get a challenge where they have to dig down under in an immunity award challenge? Okay. I think that's a down under joke and a little bit of a stretch. Christian says, if Lucy was on this season, how many confessionals would she have had by now?
Well, Lucy, I don't know. None. I mean, yeah.
Yeah. Well, obviously she's talking a ton that they're just choosing not to show it.
Yeah. Yes. She is talking. Do you think because you don't see Lucy talking, she doesn't know how to
talk?
She's
not saying anything interesting. That's why they're not showing it.
Right. Exactly. Nothing relevant to the story that's interesting. Just like there's nothing interesting about Lee's advantage. Oh my God. You're outrageous.
All right. And Mo says, should Flick be voted out next? You say yes.
I would be sad for it to happen, but I think there's a strong possibility.
I'd be very surprised if she goes out next. Let's call this. Who's going out next?
Either
say Flick.
Either Flick or L.
Flick or L. Well, how does L get voted out next?
If Flick flips back or Sam. Sam's actually a pretty good target mix. So maybe Sam.
Yeah. But just to be different, I'll say Matt.
I think there's no way Matt is going out next.
Why?
No one's going to target him. Like, why would you target Matt?
Because he's not in the group of people that voted together this week. Unless you're saying, oh, it's voting blocks. It'll be all new people voting together next week.
Always go at this point at final six. You've got to go for a target. Nobody's worried about, you know, Matt beating them, right?
If the Aganoans stick together plus Flick, then they only have Sam or Matt. Sam's a better bet to win immunity. And I could see Sam saying to Lee, like, oh, mateship, buddy, keep me around.
After Sam broke that mateship, you know, Lee's disappointed.
Yeah. So do you think he'll target Sam? I mean, I think it'll be either Sam or Matt gets voted out next.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Good stuff, Steven. Thanks so much to Alex Kidwell behind the scenes filling in for Scott St. Pierre this week. Steve, now, when is the finale of Australian Survivor? I really thought that we were going to be done with this before we got to when we do our show in New York. It's not going to be next week.
I don't know, man.
I think our finale coverage is going to be interrupted by live know-it-alls going to New York.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, wow.
Or do you think they're going to drag it out? Do you think that they will drag it out into 3 weeks? Like, how many more weeks are left of the show?
5, 4, 3. God,
we're heading into the final six. Next week, do we get 3 episodes again? I mean, it's been 2 weeks in a row that we've had two episodes.
I bet they drag it out.
Does anybody in the chat room know what the schedule is going to be coming up here in the next couple of weeks? Because, I mean, if there's 2 episodes next week, so what do we get down to the final 4? And then do we have a week where we end up with going from 4 to the final 3 and 2? Could they finish the season in 2 weeks?
They could, you know, who knows with these people that it's so how does one speculate about the programming strategies of Australian Survivor?
I mean, I guess we have to hope that somebody knows the schedule.
Yeah, I guess that's how. Yeah. I guess. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
But they changed. So they went from 2 to 3 to 2.
According to Shania, she's saying it's going to be 3 weeks down to 2 episodes a week. So that would mean that we will be back for the finale.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Stephen Fishback. Follow Stephen on Twitter. He is at Stephen Fishback. And next,
what's the hashtag? What's the hashtag this week?
What do you want it to be?
No, I asked you first.
Okay. Hashtag. Let's see. I'll let the chat room get a shot at this while I try to remember what we're gonna say. All right. So tomorrow night, don't forget the know-it-alls will be back. Episode number 4 of the Millennials versus the Gen Xers coming up. Steven, are you excited? Some exciting promos for tomorrow night on the Millennials versus the Gen Xers.
I love it. I hope the Millennials lose the challenge. Just I am sort of rooting for Gen X, but more relevantly, the Millennials are just so much more fun to watch.
Okay. So you want to see a tribal council with Millennials?
Yeah. They just bring a lot more to the table.
Okay. A lot of people are rooting for a flick flip.
Flick flip. Okay. I like it.
And Alex Kidwell suggests flickers never win.
Oh, I like that.
Okay.
You also think that Flick can't win because of this flick.
Yeah. I think she is drawing dead at this point, especially in this is not the season, you know, Australian Survivor is not the season to flip on your mates.
Yeah.
You know, maybe a final three.
Permission, Rob. They gave each other permission.
I guess so. So there you go. All right. So we'll be back on Wednesday night. Should be a fun week of Survivor coming up. Recap with Randy Bailey, Steven's friend, Randy Bailey. Wow. And then Miles Nye will be joining me for the voicemails coming up on Thursday. So it should be a good week of Survivor. Until then, take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Bye.
Survivor Know It All.
Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.